Not Quite Right features discussions that are unfiltered and uncensored and may include themes that are inappropriate for younger listeners. Also, I swear a lot.
Something doesn't seem quite right.
Welcome to Not Quite Right. My name is Ed. And this is the ninth of a series of interviews that Amanda and I recorded at the Words and the Waves Writers Festival this year. This time, we're speaking with Jesse too. Jesse is a journalist, a book critic, and the author of two novels, A Lonely Girl is a Dangerous Thing and The Honey Eater. We had a very brief conversation with Jesse about her work, as she was just about to go on stage for the Power and Privilege panel with Nikki and Natasha. So here is our very brief conversation with Jesse too. So we're here at Words on the Waves with Jesse too.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
What brings you here to Words on the Waves?
I'm going to appear on a panel about power and privilege, talking about my latest book, The Honey Eater.
Excellent. And tell us about The Honey Eater.
The Honey Eater is a sort of psychological thriller, workplace drama about three women. It centres on a young translator who's trying to get her first book of translation sold. And it's really just about the power dynamics within the workplace, especially in academia, because she has a very powerful female boss who's also a translator. And it's just about these two women trying to vie for power in academia, in the world of academia, which I'm fascinated by.
So Ed and I used to work together, actually, and we were just talking about some old workplace gossip. But it's always such a rich source of drama, the workplace.
Like, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, your colleagues are people who you're forced to spend the most amount of time with and you don't choose them.
No, I didn't choose him. But, yeah, talking about the power dynamics between women is always really interesting as well, and how, like, there's this kind of often this competitiveness that just comes into it, like, unbidden, I think, sometimes as well.
Totally.
Yeah.
Because there's so little space for us.
Mm. Is that something you found in your own life? Is it just a topic you're interested in more generally?
Yeah, I think a little bit of both. I feel like the way women are expected to present themselves and to behave in the workplace, there's a lot of what I've witnessed is repressed hostility.
Okay.
There's a sort of, yeah, way that you're meant to be. And I find that very fascinating about, like, the kind of multifaceted sides of us, that who we present ourselves as women in the workplace is so different to who we actually might be at, like, at come 5 o'clock.
Yeah, right. Okay.
I think that's a big part of the workplace, right? Is putting on that work face and then being someone completely different at the end of the day.
Yeah. And I find that really, I don't know about you guys, but I struggle with professionalism.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not professional.
I mean, you get used to it in time, I guess. You just get used to putting on that mask and being that person for that period of time. But it's never a comfortable fit for most people, I think.
Sometimes I feel like something wrong with me because I don't find it comfortable and I don't like doing it.
No, the whole situation is very fake.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone's pretending.
Yes.
That's why I hate LinkedIn so much.
Oh, it's just the epitome of
it's just, that's exactly
it's
the issue.
It's extending the performance onto the online space. Yeah.
But you're a book critic as well. So how does that impact your own writing? Are you critiquing yourself as you write, or can you separate those parts of your brain?
Well, thankfully, I can separate it, because when I write for myself, like fiction, my books, I try to just remember that at the end of the day, I'm writing for myself.
Yeah.
No one is adjudicating this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the sort of key philosophy I try and remember, because otherwise, if you think about your readers, you just won't write authentically.
But then I guess come editing stage, maybe that part of your brain is useful.
Maybe, yeah.
Do you see issues in books that you critique and then apply those to your own?
That is such a great question, because a lot of people ask me, how do you operate between a critic and a person who actually does the artwork? And I've never been asked that. That is such an awesome question. I think so. I think when I critique something, it's very different to the sort of criticism I grew up reading, which was very clinical and sort of objective, like quote-unquote objective. But the way I encounter a book, it's always through an emotional lens. So I'm like, how does this speak to me emotionally? How do I connect to it emotionally? If I like a pros, like the work, it's often because the pros is good. And then I guess I think about my own pros and whether or not it flows.
Yeah. And what's good exactly? Like, what does good mean? Like, you experienced it in a way that made you feel good, but why and how can you replicate that?
Yeah, exactly.
But the problem is that you can never really be objective about your own work. And we do some critiques as well for our podcast, and we have a flash fiction competition. And it's a very different story when you're looking at someone else's work and saying what's wrong with the voice, for example, or the structure, and then your own work, it's impossible to kind of come.
You're still making the same mistakes that you can pick in someone else's, but not in your own.
It's really hard. That's where a good editor comes in, obviously.
That's true. I mean, I have a very critical brain, so I find that it's not only in my own work that, you know, I become self-critical at the time of creating, which is problematic, but also I find it sometimes hard to enjoy art because I'm constantly kind of analyzing. Like when I say art, I mean like the written word or, you know, film or TV, that sort of thing. I'm analyzing the plot instead of just experiencing it.
Right.
So do you have that at all when you're reading that you're sort of already preempting what you're going to say in your critique? Or?
Oh, okay. Thankfully not, I think. Yeah. I don't know why. I think I just am able to try and consume it as it is first, and then later go back. And my first question is always, what is this book actually about?
Yeah.
And then I guess, what is the author trying to do?
Mm.
Yeah.
I've got the same experience as you, actually. Even just watching TV shows now, you know, I can't stop thinking about the writing and the structure and all of the beats and that kind of thing. I don't know if it makes it worse or like diminishes it. I think actually makes it a different experience.
Yeah,
like it just
that's
adds
true.
To it, that level of like criticism and
You're analyzing.
You can't really shut. I can't shut that part of my brain off when I'm watching something or reading something.
Yeah.
Okay. So your first or your latest book is called The Honey Eater, and the major theme of that is that relationship, that power dynamic. Your previous book, A Lonely Girl Is a Dangerous Thing. Tell us a little bit about that.
That is about a sex addict violinist who is 22 years old, and it's about her struggling to come to terms with, she used to be a prodigy, but then she had a massive public breakdown, and then now it's her, we're revisiting her in her early 20s, and it's about her trying to gain some semblance of power. And I think it was my sort of exploration into how young women are still expected, like they're sort of still expected to measure themselves and their worth in terms of their physical desirability. And I really, like, makes me so angry because, you know, I see my young nieces falling for that. And I'm like, why is the world still so fucked up for women? You know, it makes me so angry. And also because young women don't know, like, I know when I was in my early 20s, I thought I was the ugliest thing in the world. Like, you're just so hard on yourself as a young woman. You don't know the power you have. You know,
there's no objectivity there either.
Yeah, it's just, so that book was really just about how a lot of young women, at least what I saw, we're just trying to use sex as a way to gain power. But at the end of the day, they felt shit about themselves.
Yeah, and they had power anyway inherently before.
Yeah,
exactly. So that they just weren't aware of.
Yeah.
A fascinating premise for a book, the sex addict violinist. Is not
That's what we have to say. Yeah. It's like, okay. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm just conscious that we've got not too much time. So was there anything else you wanted to mention before we wrap up and before you jump on stage?
Yeah, no, it was such a delight to talk to you guys.
Yeah, you too.
This has been a special presentation of the Not Quite Right podcast in collaboration with Words on the Waves Writers Festival. Check the show notes for more information about Words on the Waves and the books mentioned in this episode. If you're new to the podcast, please join us again for our regular episodes where we talk about media, culture, and the art of writing.
Something doesn't seem quite right.